The views and opinions expressed during this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of WHIO and Cox Media Group.
This hour is sponsored by Sim Trainer.
America's top talk shows with breaking news, traffic, and weather.
WHIO.
WHIO.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this live broadcast of Shooting from the Hip. I'm Mark Avery from Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. You can visit us on the web at sim-trainer.com. You can call us at the range at 937-293-3914 or stop down and see us. Our range is located at 2031 Dryden Road, right across from the AES Ohio Maintenance Yard and just south of the river. We'd be glad to discuss with you any of your firearms needs and interests. Today is a live show, so feel free to call in the Master Control Suite. Chris is at the helm at 937-457-1290. That's 457-1290. And let us know a little bit about what you'd like to discuss. I hope you have been paying attention to some of the things that have been going on, especially over this last week. We've had quite a bit of progress. Today is the last Shooting from the Hip, well, for 21 anyway, but it's a great opportunity for you to call in with any questions or comments. And, of course, it's also the last week before Christmas. WHIO has special programming scheduled for next Saturday, so we'll be off the air, but I will be here live in studio the following week to kick off the new year, and I hope that you'll join us. We have finished up our classes at Sim Trainer for this year, but we still have a couple of weeks of our regular weekly league on Tuesday evening and Wednesday afternoon, if that's something that you've participated in the past, or maybe something that you've just wondered about, we'd encourage you to come out. You can go to our website again at sim-trainer.com and sign up for one of the slots. We have six each hour, and so if you make reservations for those slots, well, and do that in advance, it gives us a little bit of an idea of how many people are planning to be there and to make sure that we have everything set up that we need. So go out to the website at sim-trainer.com, and you can sign up for one of the slots in each of the next 2 weeks and be part of our tactical training league. It's a lot of fun. If it's not something you've ever done before and you just want to come watch, bring your eye and ear protection, and we'd be happy to have you do that as well so you can get kind of a clue as to what's going on. And I would recommend you may want to bring your shooting gear with you, even if you don't think you're going to shoot, because a lot of people who have watched that, they have any shooting experience and any formal training, they find that this is a really great way to hone your skills, to up your skills, and to get a little time doing things that you can't do in the stall. So I would encourage you, if you have some time off, either on Wednesday afternoon or on Tuesday evening, that you're available in the next 2 weeks to come out to Sim Trainer and participate in our league. That would be great. We'd love to have you come out and join us. There has been some progress in the Ohio General Assembly this week. I spent quite a bit of time last week talking about what is in the two bills that are sometimes referred to as constitutional carry, probably more accurately permitless carry. And that's Senate Bill 215 and House Bill 227. So I'm not going to go back through all of the detail that I discussed last week. If you would like to hear that and you missed it, feel free to go out to our website at sim-trainer.com/radio, and you can listen to last week's show right from there. House Bill 227 had passed a few weeks ago, and Senate Bill 215 was due on Tuesday for hearings in committee. The committee voted and passed it out of committee and sent it to the floor. And then on Wednesday, after some discussion, the Senate passed the bill and passed it 23-8, which is a fairly significant majority. And so now we have two bills that cover very similar things. I have been through both bills, and reviewed that again before today's show to kind of go over some of the things that are some differences in the bill, but I don't think I want to cover in great detail all the things. I would say that the bills are now more similar than what was introduced in the Senate. The Senate bill was a little bit more different from the House bill when it was introduced. And during the committee discussions and the intervening period, that the bills became much more similar. So there's really not that much that a conference committee would need to resolve, or whichever chamber decides to review the other one and figure out whether or not they're going to pass it. If they want them to be the same and have both bills come out as a combined resolution, they could do that. There really aren't that many differences. Some of the things that were removed, for example, during the session was that the Senate bill originally added a right to a pretrial immunity hearing based on a claim of self-defense. And that portion of the bill was removed, so that is no longer part of either bill. There were several other things that were slightly different and different ways of doing them, but either one of them would pretty much accomplish the same thing. One of the other things that was removed from the Senate bill is that the original Senate bill eliminated the requirement to notify law enforcement of possession of a loaded handgun in the vehicle, and that has been removed as well. So now both bills still require notification, but one of the major changes is that the notification is not required until it is asked for. It can be provided before that, but it is not necessary that it be provided prior to a request of the officer during that law enforcement encounter. So that is something that is, I think, probably a little bit of a compromise. I know a lot of people wanted to have that provision completely removed so that the duty to notify would no longer be necessary. And originally in the House bill, that was the way they introduced the bill. But as it has been through committee, and after looking at what the House passed, apparently they decided to reverse a little bit of that. You still don't have to provide that notice on your own spontaneous notification. But if you are asked, if you're carrying a firearm, if you have a concealed handgun license, then you need to provide that notification. Or if the officer in that stop asks you if you're carrying a firearm, and you do need to provide that notification. So that is one of the things that changed after the Senate has been through committee and before it got passed and sent to the floor, and before it was sent passed on the floor. Those are some of the changes that were made to the bill. So if you had heard some of the discussion from last week and you were really excited about some of those things, maybe they've changed a little bit, and you maybe are a little less excited, but I think we should all be encouraged by the fact that the Senate acted fairly quickly following the passage of the House bill, and they reviewed it. They went through the committee. Of course, it had been already reviewed. It had been through hearings prior, but now on the final reading and the final hearing of that bill, it was then voted out of committee and then went to the floor of the Senate. And the following day, on Wednesday this last week, the bill was passed on the floor of the Senate. So now it will be up to them to figure out how they're going to resolve the two bills and what we should go forward and what we should look for going forward as they craft a single bill that would then be passed by both of the chambers and sent to the governor for signature. The governor has said he would sign it, and that, of course, that's a long time ago that he said that, and that was during a campaign, so remains to be seen. In the past, he has fulfilled those promises, and when he has said he would sign a bill, even if it wasn't exactly what he was looking for or he didn't get everything he wanted, like, for instance, the Ohio Strong provisions that he had initially threatened he wouldn't sign any firearms bills at all if the Ohio Strong bill that he wanted following the Oregon shooting had not been passed. That hasn't made any progress anywhere. And yet he did sign the last updates that went through and are currently in law. So the things that went into effect back in 2019, And so there's a pretty good chance, and I think it's encouraging. I think we can take encouragement from the fact that he has said he would sign this bill whenever it does make it to his desk. So I think that's a good sign. I think we've made good progress. That would make us the next concealed carry bill that doesn't require or a state that doesn't require a license in order to carry. There are now many other states as well that have already passed those provisions. I know Florida is considering it now, and Governor DeSantis has said that he would sign that bill, not a confirmation simply because he's not actually seen the bill, but he's saying in principle he agrees with the concept that the right to keep and bear arms should include the fact that you can carry discreetly. That's my way of putting it. That's, in fact, my preferred term. I don't really, it's not about concealing it. It's about being discreet. You know, there's a whole lot of things about me that you don't need to know and probably don't want to know. But the fact that I would be carrying a firearm or I'm not carrying a firearm, that's not something that anybody else has any particular business to know. And because both the Ohio Constitution and the United States Constitution guarantee your right to keep and bear arms, that really ought to be something that you should be able to do, bearing arms, without any kind of additional permission from the state. So there's a lot of questions about that. There's a lot of people who have passionate feelings about how much training you should have and that we want to have that training. In fact, the one Republican who voted against that bill in the Senate, Senator Jerry Serino, argued that because if that bill, if it passed, would adversely affect the process to obtain a concealed carry permit. It's actually a license, Senator. And, quote, risk guns getting into the wrong hands. I don't believe that's true. I don't think there's any backup for that. This is the kind of argument that the gun control lobby has made starting back way before concealed carry was passed in Ohio. Every one of the arguments that they've made, every one of the concerns that they have voiced has proven to be unfounded. There wasn't blood running in the streets. There isn't the wild, wild west out there. The people who would go through the process to get a concealed handgun license are law-abiding citizens, and therefore law-abiding citizens who are carrying firearms, and those are the only ones who would be allowed under these provisions, only someone who is already allowed by law to possess and carry a firearm would be the people who would be legally allowed to carry them concealed. So any argument that says, well, the bad guys are going to start carrying firearms and then there won't be any way to prosecute them. Well, the bad guys, for the most part, already have a criminal record. And if they didn't have a criminal record, they would be able to get a license anyway. So that really doesn't hold any water. And that's one of the arguments that the senator had made. Several law enforcement folks that he had talked to from his region up in Lake County had also made similar kinds of arguments. And in the third day, the third hearing, the committee hearing up in Columbus, when this was passed out of committee, the majority of the people who testified were testifying in opposition to these provisions. And yet it was still passed out of committee and it was still passed by a substantial majority in the Senate the following day. So I think that's good information. I think that's encouraging. I think we can look forward to in the new year, these bills being reviewed and passed. I'll be looking forward to find out exactly what that is. If you'd like to be part of the show, please call the studio at 937-457-1290, and I will get you up on the air. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk.
It's our Ask the Expert weekend on the Miami Valley radio station with breaking news, weather, and traffic. 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. It's an Ask the Expert weekend on Dayton and Springfield's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic station. 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting From the Hip. If you would like to be part of the show, please call the studio at 937-457-1290. Give us a little bit of an idea of what you'd like to talk about, and we'll get your question or comment up on the air. Today is the 18th of December, which is the first day of the last weekend for regular gun season for hunting deer in the state of Ohio. We don't have any statistics yet from this weekend, of course, but the gun season that ran through December 5th, there had been about 80,000 deer that had been taken up to that point by archery hunters, and then the youth hunters checked another about 7,600 deer during the two-day youth gun season in November. There have been a lot of deer taken this year, and both in archery and with firearms. So that's a good thing, I think. I kind of wished I could have gotten out this year. I was really unable to do that because of a lot of scheduling things, but it was a really good year for the hunters so far. And if you're out this weekend, you're probably not listening to the show, but I wish you the best of luck. There's still archery season that continues right through the first weekend in February, and then there will be a black powder season near the beginning of next year. So if you're a hunter and you want to get out into the field, I would encourage you to do that. It's been a great year. So there have been a lot of people that have come in from out of state even to go hunting and take deer. I'm glad that Ohio has become one of the places that people want to go to hunt deer. It speaks well for the wildlife management by the Division of Wildlife and individual property owners who are doing what they can to make sure that the habitat is suitable and that the deer have what they need and that the numbers are adequate, that predation is somewhat down. And then all of these, the deer are out there. Venison is a fantastic meat for eating. It's very flavorful. It's also extremely healthy. So if you're interested in getting out into the field, this is the last weekend for regular straight wall cartridge hunting. There will, again, as I mentioned, there will still be a muzzleloader season later before the end of the season. So encourage you to get out there and do that if you have the opportunity. And if you have a great story from hunting, feel free to call in and share that with the listeners. I've never been successful. I enjoy getting out. I've been out several times. I've had a few opportunities, not as much as I want. And I know to some extent it's my fault because I don't do the scouting I know I need to do in order to get to be successful, or at least more make it more likely that I'd be successful when I'm out hunting. And I've got no one to blame for that but myself, and poor planning and letting too many other things infringe on my schedule. But for those of you who have had the opportunity to be out there, good luck to you if you're out there now. I hope you've had good luck this season. And more than anything, I hope you had a great time when you were out there in the woods enjoying the nature that God has provided us and the abundance that we have for our wildlife and outdoors experience in the state of Ohio. Back a few at the beginning of the month, there were some attempts to pass a bill in the House of Representatives, U.S. House of Representatives, and Senator Chris Murphy, Democrat from Connecticut, attempted and failed to pass House Resolution 8, which was a so-called universal background check bill. The problem with universal background checks is they only affect law-abiding citizens and make life more difficult. He tried to bypass regular order and get a unanimous consent. Fortunately, one of the senators, Senator Chuck Grassley, ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, objected to that unanimous consent request and blocked that bill from moving forward. So that's good news for us on the federal front. And hopefully we'll have more good news coming up after the news break. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk.
It's our Ask the Expert weekend on the Miami Valley radio station with breaking news, weather, and traffic. 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. It's an Ask the Expert weekend on Dayton and Springfield's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic station. 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk.
Welcome back to the show. I'm really enjoying this Christmas music that we're having in the breaks, and I hope you are as well. Christmas season is almost here. Obviously, if you haven't already started your shopping, you're probably too late. The folks at SimTrainer still have some sales going on. If you are on our email list, you would have received a note this week. First, it has a thank you from the Pedros and the SimTrainer staff for all the support you've given us over the last few months. It was tough losing Jeff, and we're doing our best to carry on the legacy that he's created. And we think that's probably what he would have wanted anyway. So we have published our first quarter calendar, and we're accepting private lesson requests and new memberships. So if you want to do that, you can go out to our website at sim-trainer.com and sign up for either of those. We do have an advanced handgun series beginning on January 13th. So if you have not yet taken that series, or if you have taken it and would like to take all or part of it again, we encourage you to go out there and sign up for some of those classes. These are some of the advanced skills that you likely would need if you were faced with a violent encounter. It takes the handgun training to a significant level above what we cover in our basic handgun class and in our concealed carry class. So if you are serious about having the skills that you would need should you ever need to have them, and of course we all hope that doesn't happen, but if it does, you definitely need to be prepared before it happens. So the Advanced Handgun Series is a great way to do that. If you want to sign up for those classes, again, you can do that online at our website at sim-trainer.com. We have some other classes as well, and one of the classes, I've talked about several of the classes last week, and we've talked about them several times. But there's one of the classes that I didn't mention last week, and it's one that we've had several requests for, and it's one that we have scheduled to start up in January on the 24th. That's a Monday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. It's our handgun cleaning class. So if you have always wondered if you are properly maintaining your handgun, if you're not sure how the best way is to clean your gun, you've maybe read through the manual, but some of it was in technies and you're not really comfortable with what do you need to do and to know that you're doing it correctly. This class is a great way for you to dispel all those questions and to learn the best way for you to clean your firearm, maintain it. It doesn't really take that much time to do that. If it takes 10 or 15 minutes to clean each gun, then, you know, maybe you needed a real thorough cleaning. It's really not that big of a deal. It's pretty straightforward. Your manual has all that information, but sometimes it's a lot easier to learn when you see something done and you have somebody that you can ask questions of. So you will need to read your owner's manual before coming to class and bring that manual with you, because there are some guns that come apart a little differently from others. I mean, each of the models has their own unique ways of doing it. There are several kind of standard ways of doing it, but there are some that are somewhat unique. And if you aren't familiar with that particular gun and you're trying to take it apart without having the manual, you might have a little bit of trouble. So bring your manual with you. You'll also need your own cleaning kit with solvent, lubricating oil, brushes, and patches, and a cleaning rod, plus any other accessories. If you don't have a kit like that, you can get one at the range before class. And in fact, we do have our supplies on sale right now. So if you'd like to swing by the range next week, you're going to have to hurry to get there today. But we're going to be open Monday through Thursday next week, and we'll be closed on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But if you'd like to pick up some stuff, maybe you have somebody in your family who has a gun and doesn't have their own cleaning equipment, this would be a great little stocking stuffer, is to get a cleaning kit to go with it. And so we have those available. We also have some firearms available. We have an M&P Shield Plus that comes with two magazines, one 10-round and one 12-round. So the 12-round is a little bit extended, hangs out a little further from the bottom of the grip. We have a Maverick Arms and Rock Island shotguns. We have a Ruger LCP-2 in 380. And so if you're interested in one of those firearms, swing by the range and let us know. And we'll have somebody there who can do that transfer for you so that you can take that gun home and maybe make it a part of your Christmas gift or make it a Christmas gift to yourself. Maybe fill in the hole that you've had just waiting to get a new friend in your gun safe. And we're happy to help you with that. So we also have a lot of lightly used holsters that we've used for training purposes. They're only $10. So if we happen to have one that fits your gun, you're not going to get a better deal than that. These holsters are all lightly used, and that is to say they haven't been abused or seriously marked up. They're in pretty good shape. There's a whole box of them. We also have 40% off some new holsters. So if you're interested in getting a holster that we have in stock, this would be a good time to do that. We have some red dots and lasers. If you want those, they're $100 off. So those are some pretty good prices there. And T-shirts and hats are all $5.99. We do have one six-rifle safe left. If you're interested in that, it's only $4.95. We have neck belts. There's 20% off of those and 25% off eye and ear protection, cleaning kits, accessories, cases, lock boxes, and much more. So swing by 2031 Dryden Road, and you can peruse the items that we have available and maybe take some of those home, maybe make some solve some of your Christmas gift selection problem with some great supplies or cases to go with somebody's shooting sports at your house. Over the last year, we have seen an awful lot of firearms that have been sold. We've seen an awful lot of ammunition that was sold. And it seems like, how could that possibly be? Because it's been very difficult to find those things. Well, you're right. It has been difficult to find those things. But if you look at the statistics, there have still been an awful lot that were sold. Now, we probably are not going to have the total number of firearms, at least that the one of the big indicators that we have for how many firearms were sold was how many people had background checks. And it's not a completely accurate number for several reasons. Number one, there are other reasons to do background checks besides just the purchases of a firearm. And number two, there are several states, I think 25 states now, that don't even require a separate background check for people who have been issued a concealed handgun license, or there may be some other alternative background check that's available that substitutes for the national instant check system that the FBI runs. So right now at SimTrainer, if you come to purchase a firearm and you have a current concealed handgun license, we don't run your background check through the FBI NICS system. We just record it on the form. You still have to fill out the form. All the paperwork is the same. But the difference is we can take your license information and put it down as the reason why we knew that you were able to pass a background check and already had passed that background check, because all the licenses that are currently active were all issued since March of 2015, because it's a five-year license and we're now at the end of 2021. So any current licenses included the NICS check. And if you were no longer able to possess a firearm, the sheriff would have taken your license as either in suspension or in revocation. So we can use your license as the proof that you passed the background check, that you meet the qualifications for us to sell you a firearm. And that means you don't show up on the NICS check. So there's a lot of people in Ohio. The numbers for the state of Ohio obviously dropped when that happened. And now that all of the licensed people have that, there are a lot of people who no longer need to get a background check each time they purchase a firearm. That was one of the reasons why when I renewed as early as I possibly could at the beginning of the 90-day window for renewing of your license, because I wanted to be able to have that license as well. And in addition, it allows you to carry in some states that only allow recognize our license once it had that NICS check as part of the background check process. So over the last several years. Of course, the NICS data is collected, and the National Shooting Sports Foundation scrubs that data and pulls out the purpose-coded background checks that are for something other than a firearms purchase, and then they produce their own statistics. The so far in 2021, even if there were no other guns sold after November, we'd still be the third largest number of background checks for firearm sales ever in terms of years. And I suspect by the time we get through the end of December, it will surpass the next highest one and we'll be behind only 2020. So 2020 was a big year. There were a lot of firearms and ammunition sold, and it looks like we're going to get very close to that again this year for 2021. It'll be interesting to see what happens when the industry has been able to catch up with the demand and we start seeing more available firearms and more available ammunition. One of the other indicators for the number of firearms and the amount of ammunition sold over a year is the taxes that are collected. So we have excise tax obligations for 2021. They're up 57% over last year. Now, that's just for the first two quarters of this year. So that's just for the first half of the year. And it'll be interesting to see when we have the full statistics available. Those numbers tend to be a little bit longer delayed than the monthly report that we get from the NICS system, because that's published almost immediately after the end of the month. They have that data very, very quickly. The pistols and revolvers that were sold in sales up through the second quarter of calendar year 2021, there were $116 million in taxes revenue that was generated, which means that there was about $1.16 billion for pistols and revolvers in terms of sales. Firearms and other long guns, that's $97 million in taxes generated, and they get taxed at a rate of 11%. So that's $888 million for firearms and long guns, other than pistols and revolvers. Ammunition, $961 million for in sales for those, based on $105 million in taxes. So the total estimate of sales for the quarter was $3 billion. That is a lot of sales of ammunition and firearms when most of us are looking around saying, we can't find it. Now, to be fair, ammunition has started to break free. So I've been able to find ammunition, some of it online, some of it in stores, where you've been able to get some decent quality ammunition. We much prefer U.S. manufactured ammunition and ammunition from a few of the NATO allies, as opposed to some of the other third world and metal steel case ammunition, not because of the cases, but because of how dirty the powder and primer is. I'm going to take a last break for the hour. I would encourage you, if you'd like to be part of the show, to call the studio at area code 937-457-1290. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk.
It's our Ask the Expert weekend on the Miami Valley radio station with breaking news, weather, and traffic. 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. It's an Ask the Expert weekend on Dayton and Springfield's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic station. 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk.
Welcome back to the show. Merry Christmas from Shooting from the Hip. My name is Mark Avery, and I'm your host today. Let's jump out to the phones, and welcome to the show. Michael?
Yes.
Hi.
Yes,
what can I answer your question?
I had a question. Do you have any armory courses there, like to clean and repair handguns and put on laser sights, take them off, like a lock?
No, we don't have an armorer's course. We do have a cleaning course that will help you to learn how to properly take it apart and clean it, but it sounds like what you're looking for is a little bit more advanced than that. Now, the guy who does teach the handgun cleaning class is also an armorer, so he may be able to help you with some of those kinds of things and would be able to best tell you where you might find some of that kind of training. There's a Glock armors course. There's a SIG armors course. I know Smith & Wesson has one, and most of those are offered in many different places. But they're offered directly by the manufacturer. So the one of the challenges of that is you really do need to get the manufacturer's course for each of the different guns. Is there one in particular that you're looking to be able to do that for?
Glock.
Okay. Like yeah, the Glock Armors course is available. I've not been to it. I've seen it scheduled several times around the country, but you can go to Glock. If you go to the Glock website, sometimes those courses are listed as when they're available, and then if you can find a place that's holding one, you can get signed up for that. But it is something that is very specific to the particular model or the particular manufacturer's guns, and so you kind of need to get the class from that manufacturer. In terms of the general skills and tools and necessary to do some of that stuff, again, our armorer would be happy to help you with that. If you wanted to be there when he's taking that class.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and you have a blessed Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and to you as well. As we close out this year, I'd really like to thank everyone who follows the show and has encouraged us to keep it going. If you missed the first show after the end of the Dayton Flyers football season, I encourage you to go to the radio show archive at sim-trainer.com/radio and listen to the show from November 27th. Losing Jeff in October was a shock for all of us. He left behind a powerful legacy of quality firearms training that all of us at Sim Trainer are working to maintain. As we look back over the last 17 years, it's easy to see the effects of Jeff's larger-than-life personality. All of us are grateful and blessed to have known him and learned from him. This Christmas, I encourage you to spend time with your family and friends. We never can know what's ahead in our lives, so make the most of every moment you have. As we celebrate the greatest gift ever, the birth of Christ, share the joy of that gift as you come together with others. Many people this year lost friends and family to COVID and other issues, and holidays can often be overwhelming as we move forward remembering those we lost. The pain we feel in grief is really an indication of the powerful ways those people affected us. How do we push through that grief and celebrate these holidays in joy? Well, for one thing, we can know that is exactly what they would want us to do. So, that's exactly what we're doing. From everyone here at Sim Trainer and Shooting From the Hip, Merry Christmas. And we'll be back again in 2 weeks on New Year's Day to celebrate another year. I hope you'll join me. Merry Christmas, everyone.